Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46. And this was soon after Jesus had entered Jerusalem, turned over the tables, been celebrated, but now is being questioned for his actions. So let us read Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46. And I invite you to listen for any words or phrases that stand out for you or you think speak to us as the faith community right here. And Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." I think that was the ending verse 46. Nope, I got to read one more. Two more. "When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet." May God bless our hearing and understanding of this holy scripture. Did anybody hear something new or something that stood out for you today? A word, a phrase, a picture?
Just a little more confusion.
More confusion? This is a challenging parable, Sharon. The landowner thought they would respect his son and sent his son, who they killed. We're going to talk about that. Yeah, how does it end? Jesus didn't really answer it, did he? Said that he changed the subject to this cornerstone, which is the foundational stone for the building that it's built upon, that was a stumbling block. Yep, Liam. The chief priests realized that he was speaking about them. Do we realize that? Huh. "The kingdom of God will be given to a people that produces its fruit." And now may God bless our hearing And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Well, back during Lent, right after Jesus turned over the tables in the temple, we read about the chief priests and elders of the temple questioning Jesus. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? But Jesus didn't answer that question either. Instead, he told a couple of parables. The first about two sons, one who obeyed his father and one who didn't. And today's scripture, this parable about the wicked tenants. Now, most of us are familiar with this parable. A landowner planted a vineyard, leased it to tenants, and then left the country. He sent slaves to collect his portion of the harvest, but they were beaten and one killed. He sent other slaves who were treated the same. And as we read, finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. So what's going on in this parable? We have the landowner, and we have tenants. The landowner has authority over his vineyard and his tenants. But the tenants act as if they have authority. At least they seem to believe that their willingness and ability to use violence gives them authority over the landowner and his associates. Sounds a bit like today's morality in practice. But just because the tenants claim authority, does that really put them in charge? Even killing the son, does that give them authority? This image of the vineyard and the landowner was familiar for the people in that day. The prophet Isaiah had used a very similar image of a landowner, God, and a vineyard representing the people of Israel that did not produce fruit. Similarly, the common understanding of today's parable is that the landowner represents God, the tenants represent the people of Israel, and the son obviously represents God's son, Jesus. Now, the religious establishment in Israel had been known for persecuting and killing God's prophets repeatedly over the centuries. We know that God sent Jesus, and he was cruelly tortured and crucified. Did these acts of violence give the religious establishment authority over the temple or Jerusalem or the people? They thought so. But what did God think? Clearly, the religious leaders knew that their own claim of authority was being questioned by Jesus. Also, their method of gaining authority and keeping it. And this parable is applicable not only to the religious leaders of that day, but to the leaders of our world and our church of today, and really throughout history. Because throughout history, people have been claiming authority over other people and also over the earth. And the method of choice for claiming authority has usually included violence or the threat of violence. Those with the willingness and ability to use violence use it to stake their claim over other people and other things. Now, this is motivated by the almost universal belief that we live in a world of scarcity. We believe that there is just a limited amount of resources on this earth, And if we don't stake our claim and then grab our share, we will be left out. We will be deprived. And we certainly feel deprived when someone has something we don't have. If our neighbor has a new car, a bigger house, nicer accessories, or lives what looks like the good life, then we feel envious. We want to keep up with the Joneses. Or even better, we'd like to get just a little ahead of them. Clearly, some want to get way ahead. Scarcity is a worldview that colors everything we see. It did for those tenants in the vineyard. They just had to have that vineyard. They had to control it. I mean, they had jobs. They had all they needed. But they had to own it no matter what it took. So they used violence. They killed for the vineyard. They killed the slaves. They killed the son. And then what happened? Jesus asked the religious leaders to answer. What happened? Did the tenants gain control of the vineyard and live happily ever after? Did the legal right of the landowner change? No. What happened instead was the relationship between the tenants and the landlord was changed. The relationship was broken. The landowner had built the vineyard, hired the tenants, gave them jobs, plenty to live on. He trusted them to care for the vineyard and to return a fair share. But that relationship of trust was shattered. So what did the landowner do? The religious leaders had an answer for Jesus. He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give them the produce at the harvest time. Now, in a world of scarcity, that answer was obvious. The landowner will also use violence to protect his own. He will punish the wicked tenants, destroy them, and make the vineyard available to someone else. Isn't that our world, too? Our own nation. Now, poll question. When you look at the world around us and our society, do you see scarcity or abundance? How many say scarcity? How many see abundance? And raise your hand really high if you really see abundance. Okay, we've got a good amount there. And several of us, I think, that are partly up. Yeah, it depends on what day it is and what car the neighbors drove in. These tenants were given much, but all they could see was what they did not own, what they did not have authority and power over. Living here in America, we know we have been given much more than our fair share of the world's resources. The numbers are staggering. In 2025, where the average CEO received $18.9 million in compensation, 52% of the world's population lived on less than $10 a day. Now, none of us earns $18.9 million. If you do, Pam wants to talk with you after. But none of us is close to $10 a day either. We have been richly blessed by God. But is it enough? God has given us a vineyard of abundance. But God is still the landowner, the creator of all. with authority over even the wealthiest CEO or corporation or the most powerful or corrupt politician. Our faith story tells us that God created and then God appointed humans to be stewards over this vineyard, over all the earth. And how have we responded? From the beginning, we have fought over seemingly scarce resources. We have used violence and power to satisfy our envy and greed for more. We have killed anyone who stood in the way, including God's prophets and the nonviolent peacemakers. We even killed the Son, Jesus. And what was God's response? He forgave. God forgave that violence and the killing. God sent more prophets. When the people worshiped other gods, idols, money, power, fame, they suffered the consequences. That's not the way to a good life. But God didn't forget them. He forgave them and blessed them again. God forgave them again and again. Then God sent his own son, Jesus. We killed him too. And again, God forgave us. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. How could God forgive? How long can God keep forgiving us? The religious leaders thought they knew the answer. What would the landowner do? How would God respond? He will put those wretches to a miserable death, they said. In a world of scarcity, that is the answer. That's what we expect God to do. Many Christians still think that way. I think of the Left Behind books that were so popular. That was God's response. Jesus came as a lamb the first time. This time he's coming as a lion, according to that theology. That would be their justice, but that would not be God. You see, God does not operate out of scarcity. God forgives, and God keeps forgiving. God has unlimited forgiveness, abundance. God operates out of abundance. God created a world of abundance. Only those who don't understand God, who don't know God, still thinks there is scarcity in this world. Okay, there may not be enough for all of us to live like CEOs. There may not be enough for all of us to keep up with the Joneses, to own every possible thing we see on TV and decide that we really want that. But how much do we need? Most economists agree that there are enough resources for everyone to have what they truly need, everyone on this planet. God created a world of enough. No, change that. A world of abundance. For God, there is no scarcity, no reason to fear. We don't have to fight or use violence. What do we need to do? We need to share. We need to love. We need to love people and this planet and care for it, not plunder it or its people. Who knows what this planet might produce in God's kingdom? But it will be enough. God's kingdom is a kingdom of abundance. And God's kingdom of abundance has come to earth through Jesus for all of us who are willing to accept and to live in that abundance. Remember those five loaves and two fish, which fed 5,000? Remember the lilies of the field. Remember God loves this earth, and God loves you. Jesus concludes by not answering the question. He used another Old Testament image from Psalm 118 about that stone that was rejected becoming the cornerstone, the foundation. Those who build their lives on Jesus, the cornerstone, who live in God's kingdom of abundance, will be amazed, Jesus says. They will enjoy the fruits of the kingdom because they will produce fruit of their own in their own lives. They will have enough to give. Those who reject Jesus and the kingdom of abundance will stumble over forgiveness, free grace, unconditional love, loving their neighbor as themselves. They will put themselves outside of the garden, this kingdom of abundance, because they will always live in fear. But we have a choice today and every day. Everyone does. Will we live in scarcity in this world, always in fear, always needing more? Or will we live in God's kingdom of abundance where there is always enough, even enough to give? I think I'll choose our God of abundance, or our mother hen God. I hope you will too. Our take-home question: how do you live and show your sense of abundance? Let us pray. Blessed God, Mother Hen God, spread your wings over us today. Let us feel your love and feel that fear and uncertainty just melt away from our lives, from our church, from our community, our nation, and our world. Your love, your abundant, unconditional love has given us an earth filled with abundance beyond what we know, a universe filled way beyond our knowledge. Oh God, give us inquisitive and hearts that are open and seeking for this love and these blessings that you rain down all upon us, that appreciates the beauty that we see this morning, that appreciates the beauty of being in community right here, the faith community, a seed, perhaps, of abundance for this neighborhood and beyond. We thank you, O God, for all that you do for us, but mainly for your love, because that's why you give so much. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.